We are looking at the Lord speaking in parables. And we looked last week about how the disciples were confused at the whole idea of the parables. Why are you speaking that way? What is it that you're saying to them? And we looked at the Lord's explanation that not everybody is going to understand everything, and not everything is for everybody. It's just not always going to work out. Verse 3 of chapter 13, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Excuse me, pray for me tonight. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the Lord goes on. They have this back and forth with his disciples and what's going on with the people, with their hearts that have waxed gross, how blessed they are to be able to have eyes that work and ears that hear. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. And we go back over and we see that where the fowls had come and they devoured it up. What the Lord is talking about is the heart in which, or the soil of our heart in which we bring to the church service. All right, this is not for salvation. Some people have used this to talk about salvation. Listen to me. The devil doesn't get a choice in whether or not the seed is sown in your heart. He doesn't get a choice in that. You don't get a choice in that. The conditions don't get a choice in that. When the Holy Spirit's ready for you to be convicted, you get convicted. There's no choice in the matter. This is about someone sitting and hearing the word of God. Now, we can't sit here and say that we're just one of these people. Because depending on the day, we could be quite the scale. We could be quite going back and forth on this. Maybe some days you're this person. Maybe some days you've come in, you've just had a bad doctor's appointment, the road coming down was terrible, your mind is on 1,000 different things, and you sit in the service and your mind is just wandering. Right? And maybe sometimes I'm preaching or the pastor is preaching on something you don't necessarily like, as pastors are wont to do. We sometimes pick on the things that people love. And that gets us into a position where we don't want to hear. What does Jesus say about the seed that falls on the hard ground and the birds come and they pluck it away? According to verse 19, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. This is somebody who hears it. They've received it, but there's no understanding. And the reason for a lack of understanding could be multiple. It could be somebody who legitimately lacks the spiritual maturity or lacks the intelligence or at least the education in Scripture to understand what's being said. We're not saying that this person lacks... We're not trying to say that this person is mentally deficient. This person just doesn't get it. Maybe they haven't had it fully explained to them. Maybe they just don't get it. Sometimes we don't understand because we don't want to understand. Sometimes we don't understand because we're just barely paying attention. We get that a lot in our house. The kids get excited about a story or a game or something, and they'll come in, and they'll run in, and they'll start explaining it to me halfway through whatever it is they're talking about. And I don't know what they're saying. I don't know who the names of the people are that they're talking about. It is far removed from me. Whoa, slow down. Start from the beginning. You got to take me back to the start of the thing. See, a person who's willing to hear, that's what they'll do. Whoa, take it back to the beginning. What was that? What do you mean by this? The seed that's sown out here? What do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? See, a mind that wants to have it, we'll wait to get it. They'll ask for it. They'll try to chase after it. They'll want to get it. I've had people ask me questions about different doctrine, different things that we've talked about during sermons. And they say, well, what is this? What is that about? And then they'll apologize. I'm sorry to bring this up. No, that's what we should do. a pastor who doesn't have two or three members in the church every now and then ask him about what's being said, he begins to feel upset. Maybe they're not getting it. Maybe there should be questions. There should be conversations. So those people that don't understand, either because they lack the ability to, or because they're not listening, or because they don't want to, they get into this position where what's going to happen? Well, they heard it, goes in one ear, and it does what we know, comes out the other. We heard it, and it travels right through. And all of a sudden we're on to the rest of our day. We're making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We're vacuuming the floor. We're taking a quick nap before Sunday afternoon, and then we hop over to the church, and we repeat the process. Now, when we talk about a hard heart, man, sometimes people do have hard hearts. You preach on something, you try to explain something, and no matter how well you place it, they don't want to have anything to do with it. Don't talk to me about my friends. Don't talk to me about my music. Don't talk to me about what I consume. Don't talk to me about what I do. Just get up there and tell me God loves me so I can go home. We ought to have a desire for the things that maybe we don't even understand. You know, there's that song I used to sing to Xander when he was a baby. Part of the chorus was, "Show me things I've never seen before." That ought to be our desire every time we walk into church or open the Bible. Show me something I've never seen before. We ought to want to be in conditions where we don't fully understand. I mean, imagine back, we've got some that are still in school. Imagine sitting through a class and you know everything already in the class. That'd be quite boring, wouldn't it? Especially those of you in college. What am I paying all this money for stuff I already know? You know, you show up to advanced math and it's 1 + 1. You know, 2 + 2, what am I doing here? You know, wasting my time. We ought to want to be in places that are just a little uncomfortable. We ought to have to stretch our understanding, stretch what we know. So these are the people that hear it, don't understand it, and eventually what happens is the devil takes it away. They lose it, they forget it. Now, I'm not saying the devil reaches into each and every last one of our ears and plucks it out. Simply means that something bad happens to it. It's forgotten. It's left behind. We think about this, you know, over at Flat Rock, Brother Hugan will print off these little half sheets of paper with notes of what the sermon's going to be on. He's got all of his points written out and subpoints written in there. And there's blanks. And then you catch on what he says and you fill in the blanks. I can't tell you how many times I'd be cleaning up around the church and I'd just find a handful of those things. They got it. They took the notes, and then something bad happened to it. Now it's gone. And much of it's like our memory. Like, if you consider, what did we preach last Wednesday? Well, what about 2 Wednesdays ago? 3, 4, 5? Memory is a rough thing. Very rough thing. So what happens? Well, it's there, and then it goes. Understanding is a purposeful event. We have to desire to receive, desire to understand. And folks who desire to understand, they focus, they pay attention, they ask questions when they don't understand. A lot of pastors, they hate when people ask questions. That's not a good pastor. A pastor ought to want his people to ask questions. It shows a desire for understanding. Right? We should never be so proud as to not want to be questioned on what we believe. Every now and then someone will throw me a curveball, something I haven't studied in a while. You know what? That's a fun exercise for me. And I don't mean that sarcastically. That's a fun exercise for me. Well, it's been a while since I've been down that road. Let me spend a couple hours looking at that. Oh, I would never want to. Listen, if you have a question and I don't readily know the answer, I need to do that. Right? So it's a mutually beneficial thing. If we desire to understand, let us dig into it and try to understand before it just becomes something we heard one time and forgot about it. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Don't ever come into church on the wayside with a hard heart. Don't come in like that. Church preparation starts the day before. Get your heart ready and get your heart clean. And I'll tell on myself for this. You know, back when I used to work Wednesdays, and I'd be leaving work at 6:15, and I'd have an hour drive to get to church. And I'm trying to make it to church by 6:45. I'm leaving at 6:15, and it's an hour away. That was rough. And you come in and you're tired and you're frustrated and you've honked at just about everybody you've seen and you're just wore out. And you sit in those pews and people are staring at you and you feel like a circus freak coming in, you know, right as the music's starting. And you just kind of sit down and pray and hope nobody sees you. It's rough. Get your heart right. Listen, don't let your imagination, don't let your fears of what other people are thinking of you. Oh, man, I was coming into church today and hit a bump and spilled coffee all over my shirt. Now everybody's thinking about that coffee on my shirt. Or I wore two different color socks today. Do me a favor, raise your hand if you've seen anybody's socks today. Anybody, you came into church, you saw someone's socks. Don't we play games with ourselves? Oh, people are thinking this about me. People are thinking that about me. Oh, they must have drawn this conclusion. If you don't often think about it, other people probably aren't often thinking about it. It's just we play games with ourselves. And what does that do? That hardens our heart. Now we're not listening. Why? Because we're too busy worrying about what we have imagined other people are thinking. Oh, no, let's lay all that aside and soften the heart. Ready to hear the word. Ready to hear the words of the kingdom. Verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a little while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. This often takes the shape, not only, but often takes this shape. It is a person who visits the church. They like the preaching. They like the people, and they stay for days, weeks, months, sometimes even years. And they like the atmosphere. And they like, as I said, the preaching. And they like the way things are done. But then when somebody says, are you one of those Christians who believes this? And they're stuck in this position where they must choose what God says or what the world says. And the world will play games. The world plays that emperor's new clothes game. Where if you don't agree with us, you're a bigot and you're nasty. Well, gee. I want to be a good guy. That's why I got into the church thing. Makes me feel good. Encourages me. Help. It encourages me to make good decisions. But if I hang on to that, these people are going to think I'm nasty. I don't want to be nasty. I want to be a good guy. So what does this guy do? He wavers. And he falters. And he fails. Because he never recognizes that word never took root. And that's what the word must be in each and every one of us. It must be rooted. A good firm breeze should not knock us away from the things that we believe. You know, I've got no problem looking at somebody who says, well, if you don't agree with me, then you must hate me. Oh, no, I can disagree with you and I can love you. I can do that. That's not possible. Well, then you got to know my Savior. Because that's exactly who my Savior is to me. My very nature is an insult to God. Did you know that? Your sin nature is an insult to God. And He went all that way for you. I absolutely can love people who just disagree with me. I absolutely can love people who make decisions contrary to Scripture. I can love them all day. And I'll tell you what, I got a list of folks I do love. And as a matter of fact, I don't just love them as sinners. Some of them are annoying because they're related to me, all right? I can love them that way too. Why? Because I've got a really good example of somebody who taught me how to love that way. And I'm one of those people who can look at how God loves me and knows there's a bigger gap between me and God, me and anybody else on this earth. So I can sit there and say, I disagree with you, but I love you. And here's what I think. Here's what the Bible says you ought to do about that. You could take it or leave it. But no matter what you say or do, I'm going to love you, treat you with respect anyway. I had one person I worked with. Man, they tried. They wanted so badly for me to be mean to them and be awful. So they would take their lifestyle and everything that they were doing, and they would always try to rub it in my face to get a bad reaction. One time they told me, yeah, this weekend I'm going to get this and I'm going to do that, and talked about all manner of ungodliness they were going to go do. And he goes, now I'm going to do it the worst on Sunday. I'll be up half the night, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So about 2 hours before work on Monday, I give him a call. Matt, why are you calling me? Well, you said you were going to have a wild weekend, so I just wanted to make sure you were awake. He showed up. I had a couple bottles of Gatorade and some aspirin sitting on his workbench. Let me know if you need anything, man. All right, go take a nap during lunch. It's not, we don't have to be ugly. And you don't have to tell me I'm ugly because I disagree with you. Go ahead, you can do that all you want. But I know my heart. But the person will sit there and be put into that kind of situation and walk away from the Lord, that is somebody who the Word has not rooted. Somebody who can sit there and look at all the things that God has said about us and all the things that God has done for us and see this connection. Right? That's going to be a person that will stick for the long haul. But the other person, oh no, the moment there's some persecution, the moment there's some trouble, oh, what's that? We got COVID rolling through and church is shut down for a few months. Well, hey, I sure enjoyed going out and golfing and I enjoyed doing these things, and they never came back. Well, who are they? They're people in whom the Word has not rooted. They like the idea. They like the fellowship. They like the participation, but they're not in it. Why do people get down and they church hop all over the place? Because the Word has not yet rooted. Now, it's one thing to sit there and try to see a church that fits doctrinally and you find some stuff out. Hey, you experimental. I got that. But those people that have never situated themselves and they're circling around, what is their deal? They're looking for the best experience. They're looking for the best gospel club. They're not looking for what the Bible tells them to do. They're not looking for a responsibility. So what happens to them? These things, they become choked out. The Word becomes choked out because of their fears, because of their desire to have what seems fun, but not commit too hard. These things solidify into our hearts, these distractions, this nonsense that comes into our lives. They become a permanent thing, and they become a difficult thing to work around. You know, for as tough as we pretend to be, you know, things get prickly. We were our tree this year is a little bit sharper than the tree last year, but it was beautiful. All right, if you didn't get a chance to see it, I got pictures. Beautiful. But I'm hanging stuff up and point out. You ever get like a tree needle stuck right there in the bed of your nail? And that just is. Didn't that just put you right in the mood? That's just. ow! Hey! So I went. I got gloves. I got smart. I got gloves hanging up the ornaments. They become difficult things to reach around, difficult things to work with, because we've got all these sinful desires and all this fear of what people are going to say out there about my religious points of view. You ought not have anything to be afraid of. Everybody out there has ideas. And when you take a good, hard, long, hard look at some of these worldly ideas, you begin to see glaring problems with them. All right, and well, how would they feel? Well, they would feel the same way you do. So don't ever feel bad for having the truth. Don't ever feel bad for standing for the truth. Because what is the alternative? What's the alternative? Humanism. Self-worship. Guessing as you go. That's no plan for me. That's not something I want. Verse 22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And forgive me, I was kind of mishing these two together. But again, we see that same kind of a thing. Their desires are all over the place. Well, I want this. I want that. I want to be a church. I want to go to church. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. But you know what? Every now and then I want to have a wild Saturday night. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be a stand-up person. But there are certain sins I will not let go of. Oh, here in 2024, we've developed this way about us to where we will just blame our sin on our parents when we were growing up, blame our sin on other stuff that has taken place in our lives. Well, you don't understand that when I was a child, I experienced a lot of this. Let me remind you, the moment you realize that it's wrong, it's now your responsibility. Hey, I'm with you. We all know what it's like to grow up around a certain ideal, a certain kind of temper, a certain kind of whatever, and you start repeating it. We all have it, right? We all sound just a little bit like our parents, don't we? We do. I sat there, I was listening to a recording of myself, and I said a phrase, and it sounded exactly like something my dad used to say when we were kids. You ever have that happen to you? I was like, oh man, who are you trying to be right now? Who is that? Hey, we all repeat things we saw growing up. We all repeat things we have had happens. But you're responsible for this. You're responsible for this. You're responsible for all of it. You are. There is nothing in your genetics, nothing in your brain that forces you into bad behavior. You do it. And you're just doing muscle memory. You're just repeating the things that you've seen. You know, sometimes I'll sit there, Melody has these little facial expressions she'll make, and they look kind of familiar. You ever see that in a baby, where they start making the same faces you do? And you sit there and go, oh, that's her mommy. And then she'll do something, and I go, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. One time, whenever I say something I think is funny and she doesn't, Danielle gives me a certain face. Wives, do you do this? Just that annoyed, bored with you face. I don't know what I did, but Melody looked over at me with that same face, and man, I felt like I was in trouble. We all repeat things just because we've seen them. But you're the one handling the controls. Oh, you don't get it. I've got this. I've got this condition. I've got that condition. It makes me to know nobody and nothing makes your mouth move. Makes it easier? Sure, maybe. But you do. And again, that's that, well, I've got all these desires, I've got all these things I want, I've got to go with them. You won't have the word. The word won't have an effect on you if you're holding out in rebellion. Nothing proper will grow there. Everything the Lord tells you to do will always have a condition on it. Yes, Lord, I'll do that as long as it doesn't this. Have thine own way, Lord. Unless it's inconvenient for mine. In which case, we put our own stuff in there. And with this passage, it got real specific about some things, didn't it? He that heareth the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfaithful. So imagine somebody working in the marketplace, and part of their family would go out and they would do the fishing. And then part of the family would stay in and they would sell the fish right there in the marketplace. Well, all of a sudden comes this new family in town and they've set up a stall just down the market from you and they're selling fish, right? And oh man, we've got this big debate now and they're starting to take away your customers. So what do? Well, you spread some bad word about them. And you go into the church and you hear that lying is wrong. And you go, yes, lying is wrong, but they're taking food off my table, so that's perfectly fine. And we justify. Right? That's the deceitfulness of riches. Well, don't you understand? We were the number one fish sellers in this town. How dare they do that? Right? Or perhaps let's switch it over. Let's say we've got some sheep. And we bring the sheep in and everything's going fine. And here comes that family and they're selling sheep. So I go over to where they're feeding their sheep at night. And I just kind of start dumping some food out there to make them sick. And now they're sickly. And they're scarce to eat. So now their sheep, they're looking weak and they're looking sick. And nobody wants to buy them for the sacrifices. And no one wants to buy them for eating. And hey, I'm doing pretty good. I didn't kill them. I might have just made it less difficult. That's still wrong. That's the deceitfulness of riches. How many billionaires do we see in this world got the way they got to where they were because they had to hurt people to get there? Right? Wasn't it Steve Jobs and that? What was it, Steve Jobs or Bill Gates with Wozniak? One of the two got into a big thing over that, right? And then you've got Mark Zuckerberg and those guys that were working with him that he ripped off to take the company from. There's Jeff Bezos and literally everybody who's ever worked with him. You know, just everybody's had to step on everybody to get up to that level. You have to do some ungodly things to get up there. And you know what? We ought not want to compromise for those things. Well, I don't want to compromise. Well, if I say this or do that, I'll get an extra this or a bonus that. Hey, listen, play things the way God tells you to do them. Honor God in your decision making. Honor God in the things that you do. We don't want the word to become a poor effect upon us because we have a heart so tangled up with the cares of this world. I want to be rich. I want to experience all these things. How many young people have I heard say that, oh my, where they just, you know, I want to go experience some of the things in the world first. And they never came back. And I'll be honest with you, the world wasn't very kind to them. Not in that they didn't have friends. Oh, they had tons of friends. Come on over, have a beer. Come on over, let's go on a date. Let's do this, let's do that. Oh, they had tons of that kind of friendliness. But then they ended up having kids with a couple different dads, and those guys didn't stick around to help them. And it's just the difficulty that they ran across. Financial trouble, maturity trouble. It's not kind to them. Why? Because they let their heart grow choked up with weeds. So that no matter what you said to them, it was of no effect. I was trying to talk to somebody one time. They just weren't listening. They were struggling with the consequences of their decisions. The kind of mistake that they made affected the entirety of the rest of their lives. They'll never outlive what they did. And what they told me was this. They said, I'm just sick and tired of having to live with it. And I said, I absolutely understand that it's getting heavy for you, but you chose it. You colored yourself that way. You chose this. And until you develop some maturity and you lay these things down and you handle life better, the stink of this is going to follow you the rest of your days. And to them, it was more important, far more important, that the world just forget the bad that they did and treat them like a good person just because they thought that they had bared it for long enough. That's not how it works. For as long as you're playing in the trash, you're going to smell like trash. For as long as you're playing with sharp things, you're going to get the cuts. You must lay aside the dangerous elements. You must pull out the weeds. You must pull out the thorns and thistles before you can walk around being better and feeling better. We cannot live with sin and expect to be treated as though there's none there. So the stony places, there's no root. It gets choked up. Bad things happen among the thorns with the cares and concerns and fears of this life. It doesn't get to grow often. It's fighting. And then the Lord gives us this illustration, verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, who are these people? These are the people who got to bed on time Saturday night. These are the people that before they went to bed, they prayed to the Lord and they confessed their sin the night before. These are the people who got up and grabbed their Bible and had themselves a cup of coffee and some breakfast and hit the door of that church a little bit early and fellowshiped for a little bit and, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Shared some love, shared some encouragement, got down there for devotion and Sunday school and they were ready for that sermon. And they were excited for that sermon. And they were writing some stuff down and they were thinking. And on the way home, they were praying about it. They wanted to hear what God had to say. These are the people who, sitting in their homes, will turn off the TV, turn the sound down on their telephone, grab their Bibles and sit there with a notebook and a pencil ready to take some notes on what God has to say out of His Word today. When was the last time you read the Bible and took a note out of something you read? I'd hope some of you say, oh yeah, it happens pretty often. Listen, if you're like me, you know, I spend a lot of time in the book, spend a lot of time studying. I don't think I'm ever going to get to the point where I can just read and it stays there. As some of you know my memory enough as it is, man. If I ever... I always told Danielle, my biggest fears when I is getting to the age where I start to lose my mind and someone has to take care of me. And The older I get, the more I start to realize that might be a reality, man. This doesn't work as well as I want it to all the time. I can remember obscure, random details, but ask me what I did earlier today, gone. But no, I thought you wrote that down. Did you know that helps you remember? For those of you that have a hard time paying attention, like you have a hard time keeping your focus, did you know that's an amazing way to help keep you focused? When I first learned how to sit down and study or sit down and listen to sermons, that was one of the things Brother Gill taught me. He goes, you got to start taking notes. And I said, well, Brother Gill, I don't know about taking notes. I've never taken notes for a sermon before. You know, I was just a young kid. We didn't have to take notes during school yet. I still had crossword puzzles every now and then as my schoolwork back when I got to that point. But you know what I did? I sat there. I began to take notes. And I could sit there, and while he's talking, I could probably do 4 or 5 pages of notes just listening to him. And I was proud of that. I was like, yeah. But you know what? You know what I did? I began to remember the sermons for longer. I got a buddy. He does that. He saves every one of those notes that he gets now, and he goes back over them. And this guy can sit there and come across a preacher. Hey, I was there at that sermon you preached 7 years ago down at this conference. That spoke a world to me. And he's got that memory. Hey, remember when you preached that sermon? And the preacher will sit there and stare at him going, well, no, I don't remember when I preached that sermon. But you know what that man does? Why? Because he studies and he pays attention and he writes these things down. If you're here and your Bible reading keeps getting interrupted by your lack of attention span, pull out a pencil and take some notes. Well, won't that slow me down? I'll slow you down just as much as staring out the window or checking your phone for the trillionth time or getting up for whatever random thought just crossed your mind. That'll slow you down just as much as those things will, but one of them is far more productive. Let's put a little desire into there. And then what happens? Well, there's a response to it. It says that some 100-fold. Some 60, some 30. Now, we're talking about a reaping here. We're talking about a response. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you were 100% better? If the problems in your life or the way you were doing things, wouldn't it be nice if you were 100% better at the end of your Bible study or at the end of... Man, I would love that. I would leave here. I'd make our services at one time so I could go down to another preacher and hear him preach so I could be 100% better. Wouldn't that be nice? Hey, some folks, they walk out of church. Stop it. Some folks, they walk out of church. Talk about attention span. Did you see that? Some folks, they walk out of church and they heard exactly what they needed. There's been a few times in my life where I've walked out of a church service and that preacher got me right between the eyes. That's all you got me. That's me. And I've walked out with every bit of tool that I needed. 100-fold, there it was. Everything I needed to solve this problem, that preacher just gave me. Here's 7 or 8 verses I need to be looking at. Write them down on a 3x5 card. Put them up where I'm going to see them. I'm going to memorize those things. And I'm going to work on that stuff. Sometimes it's a little less, isn't it? So he says 100. Some 60. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if 60% of your problems were fixed? What would you give for 60% of your problems to be fixed right now? I'm not just talking about your aches and your pains. I'm talking about 60% of your spiritual problems were fixed right now. Wouldn't that be nice? That's not going to happen with a hard heart, is it? Do you think the Lord could? I'm telling you right now, He will. He can. He can do 100. He can do 60. Now, how about 30? Now, 30 doesn't sound so enticing, does it? 30%? But hey, 30% is a whole lot better than nothing, right? 30% is a whole lot better than those thorns getting at that word. It's better than not being able to penetrate down through the stones. It's better than the devil taking it away. 30% is better than nothing. If I could walk into church and become 30% lighter, wouldn't that be wonderful? 30% more capable, wouldn't that be great? 30% more diligent, man, that's still quite a prize. Some will receive and be able to return back. Hey, Lord, listen, I've gotten 30% better since you showed me that in your word. Father, the Holy Spirit convicted me last week, and now I'm showing up on the next Sunday, and I've 60% improved because I got rid of a lot of that sin that they were preaching on last week. I started the book of Matthew. I got to the end of the book of Matthew. And I'm 100% more better than when I was when I began. I think we've stopped studying the Bible from the perspective of this will solve my problems. I think that happens to a lot of people. Where they stop studying the Bible for improvement. They stop reading the Bible for the purpose of improvement. How many of us have ever had something break on us and we're looking through the manual? And we're talking about those electric cars. Could you imagine it's -4 degrees outside, your electric car is toast, and you're flipping through the manual. Man, what happened? Don't put in temperature underneath 20 degrees. Okay, there you go. That book right there is telling you what's wrong with you. You know how many people are turning to social media to be diagnosed by a bunch of teenagers for a mental illness you don't even know you got? How many of us are sitting there waiting for the world in some self-help guru book to tell us what's wrong with us? When you got the one book that can help you sitting in your lap? Well, gee, you know, sometimes, let's look at how Paul put it. You know, the moment I know I've got to do something, I don't want to do it anymore. Now, gee, what mental illness is that? According to Paul, it's sin nature. That's what it is. Well, what do you mean? The things that I would do, I don't. Right? Well, I feel compelled to do all these things I'm not supposed to do, and there's this drive in me to do it. I wonder what's wrong with me. I might have bipolar. The things that I wouldn't do, I do. What is it? That's your sin nature. Now listen, I'm not saying these things don't exist. There's chemical imbalances, there's deformities, there's things that happen. A doctor can look into your brain and die. Hey, look, there it is. You see this, you know. Remember that time when you were a kid, you got into that car wreck, you smashed your head pretty bad? Well, hey, that's kind of what you're still dealing with. Now, that happens. But 98% guaranteed, it's a sin nature. It's a sin nature we fed. You ever have a puppy? Puppies are cute, aren't they? They jump up on you, lick your face. That's cute, isn't it? Now, when my 90-pound German Shepherd tries to do it, it's not so cute. It's not so cute. You sit there, man, that dog does not know he's not a puppy. He gets right up on your lap, blah, 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 swallows half your face while he's at it. He don't get it. He doesn't understand. Oh, that's so cute. That's so wonderful. Hey, things change. Problems get out of hand. You know what for the problem was? You know why my dog does that? Because he was a puppy and then somebody fed him. And now he's 90 pounds. And now it's a problem. Some folks, we start off with a small amount of that wanting to do or not being able to do the good thing and then ending up doing the wrong thing instead. Why? Because we've overfed the flesh. I'm not talking about this flesh. I'm talking about overfeeding the flesh. We've made too many carnal decisions. And we have fed those carnal decisions and continued to feed those carnal decisions. So guess what happens when you feel bad about yourself? What are you going to do? You're going to feed your carnal decisions. Because it's going to give you just a little bit of relief. And then you keep feeding those carnal decisions. And before you know it, your brain's sick with how carnal your mind has become. What must we do? We must crucify the flesh. Was mortified. Tell it no. Tell it no. Man, it's been a while since I've seen this, but anybody ever see a good temper tantrum in the middle of a store? I'm talking a good one. I saw a kid one time that I thought the parent was going to leave. You know, just, it was one of those so bad, you know, sometimes that'll happen and people will look negatively at the parents and they'll be like, oh, you must be bad parents. This kid threw a temper tantrum so big and so loud, everybody felt bad for the parents. They kind of wanted to come over, put their arm around him, going, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. How old is he? 8? All right, 10 more years, man. 10 more years, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. You know, big meltdown, just throwing things all over the place. I didn't see how that one ended. I'm assuming somebody had to tase the kid, but that's our nature. That's that kid's nature. And that's your nature. Well, I feel bad. It makes me miserable. Yeah, that's your carnal nature throwing a temper tantrum. How do you handle a child's temper tantrum? That's how you must handle yourself. No means no. Let's go. And sometimes the temper tantrum your flesh will throw will be so big you've got to leave the store altogether. Go out to the car. No means no. But you don't understand, it'll immediately make me feel better. Yeah. Yeah, until the next time when it gets worse, when you are already playing games with yourself. Like we're two different people. No means no. Now, hey, whether your sin is like mine, it's gluttony, or whether it's your temper, whether it's your reactions to things, whether it's the things that you watch, the things that you listen to, the people you're around, the ideas that you espouse to, it doesn't matter. No must mean no. Mortify that flesh. Then we'll see the 30. Then we'll see the 60. Then we'll see that 100. We'll be able to sit there and say, Lord, I did what you told me to do. My flesh desired something it shouldn't have had. I started telling myself that I needed it for my happiness and realized how silly that was. I want you to think about all the things the world says will make you happy. If it were true, one night drinking out with your friends would fill you, leave you feeling elated forever. But is that how it works? No. They end up having to go back. Well, I think I ought to be able to have this kind of relationship despite what the Bible says. All right, go ahead. Now, did that fix what was going on in your brain? No, as a matter of fact, I feel a little worse. That's weird. That's weird. It's almost like you gave in to a temper tantrum your body was having. And now every time that it wants something, it knows you just got to feel bad. Hey, you ever talk to somebody who's trying to get off an addiction? How bad does their body get? How bad does their body get? And I've seen it. They're not playing. They're not kidding. It's not a joke. It's not a game. And I've sat in the house watching people try to quit stuff. I've seen in this world people try to quit stuff. It is difficult to give up on an addiction. It really, really is. You said, that's why I need it. But it's killing you. Yeah, but I need it. You see the ridiculousness of it? Right? And that goes for anything. You know, we pick on addictive substances. There's a lot of things we do that are bad for our bodies, and we just keep doing it, right? A lot of things like that. Oh, my. We desperately need to mortify the flesh, tell ourselves no, and have a soft heart for the Word of God. Because there are people out there that, despite how many times you tell them the truth, they're not going to hear it. And I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about God's people. Hey, don't do that. Well, you know, brother, God wants to see me happy, and I've prayed, and God's given me peace about this. No, really, don't. And they do it. And it's a problem. And all of a sudden, they're like, well, I don't know why this happened. God must be trying me. No, he's punishing you. That's that whip on your back trying to get you back in line. That is that rod. That is that staff trying to pop you back into place despite your rebellion. We ought to strive to have a soft heart, a heart that is willing to let go of the stony surface, one that's unwilling to have a stone clogging up our hearts, like the person who seed landed there. They wanted it, but come the persecution, they had to let it go. Let go of the thorns of sins and lusts of this world. Let go of those things, and we need a heart that desires God's word. Now, here's the thing. Some folks, they find themselves in a position where they haven't desired the word for a while. Don't worry, you're not broken. Let me talk to you. The more of it you have, the more of it you want. The less of it you have, the less of it you want. So maybe you got this. Down on my desk, there's a little timer. I've got a little timer. And it's got a 5-minute... I think it's 5, 10, 15, 30. Right? I wish it had a 20 and a 45, but it doesn't. There we are. But I could sit there and I could flip it over. Yeah, and a 60. Thank you, buddy. And I could flip it over to that 30. and I could have myself 30 minutes of Bible reading time. And I could flip it over again, get to that 15, and now I have 45 minutes. See, I have to do some math while I'm studying my Bible, but it works. Well, brother, I can't go there. I'm not saying I necessarily can go there either, but what if you started at the 5? What if you started with 5 minutes of Bible reading? And you just committed 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I'm going to read this thing. If you devote yourself to 5 minutes, I'm not going to have to convince you to go for 10. You're going to want it. And once you get to 10, time permitting, you're going to want to go for that 15. And pretty soon, reading every day for a half hour is just part of breathing. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like making breakfast. As a matter of fact, it's something you can do while you're eating breakfast. It's easy. Oh, but I don't have time. I don't have time. Pull out your cell phone. Did you know in your app settings, you can look to see how much time you use what app on your phone? Now you pull that bad boy out, and you take yourself a good look at it. Now, some of you are like, well, brother, you're crazy. I would never do it. I don't use that thing for anything. But some of us do. And take a look how much time goes to YouTube, Facebook, whatever you got. Go take a look at your laptop, your tablet, your devices. Go look at some of these extra fun things we do. Hey, you got to have extra fun things to keep your brain going. It's a necessity. You got to take a break every now and then. But look at how much time goes into it, and then ask yourself, do I really not have time? Because the more of it you have, the more of it you'll want. So if you're sitting going, well, brother, it's been a while since I've wanted it. Good, guys, fine, we can fix that. Start off with 5 minutes. Set that timer. Slap your bookmark back into it when the alarm goes off. Close it. You're done. Now listen, if you're already doing 2 or 3 chapters a day, don't you dare start only reading for 5. Right? Stay where you are. I want to take a step back. But man, if you're the third week of January, third week of the year, and you're already off your Bible reading program for the year, don't sweat it. Get you back into it. All right? A soft heart is one that spends time reading the Word of God and desiring it. And not letting the other things chase us. And not chasing the other things. Let us focus solely on what God has for us. And not let that word be confused, choked, or stopped by anything we've got going on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful you preserved your word for us. Grateful, Father, that you've made it so readily available for each and every one of us to have and to read. And Lord, to follow. Help us, Father, to seek your word. Help us to bring our problems to you. Help us to bring our decisions to you so that, Father, we may make the best decision possible. We may develop the best habits that we possibly can. Father, it's not just about possession and giving you things, but Father, giving you things so that the best thing possible can happen with them. Because, Lord, you are the master. You are the holder of all knowledge and wisdom. Help us, Lord. Help us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Page 160.